Welcome to module number one. I call this one Speak From Your Heart and Your Head. Oftentimes you hear not from your head, but this one, Speak From Your Heart and Your Head, with simple, highly effective, non-salesy way that will turn prospects into paying clients. It all comes down to the know, like, and trust factor and one other surprise need. This reminds me of a wonderful quote that Maya Angelou has. It's, I've learned that people will forget what you say, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. That is so true. That's why I say we have to speak from both our heart and our head. And this is at the heart of all relationships, of great speaking, great marketing, and even chance encounters. How you make people feel is at the heart of your business. Why is feeling at the heart and the head? Because people will never forget how you made them feel, like Maya Angelou says. But we also have to remember how we feel in the process too. Because unbeknownst to most people, that little survival part of your brain is always asking, am I safe? And do I matter? Now realize that the person you're talking to is also asking those questions. Now, not out loud, of course. It's just this unconscious part of their brain, that little bit of their survival brain back there that activates fight or flight going, am I safe with this person? And do I matter to this person? And you're asking those same questions. That's how come sometimes fear pops up when you have to speak about what you do. So take a deep breath. Know that you're safe. And yes, you matter. The answers always come back to feeling safe and feeling that you matter. I've also heard the phrase, the know, like, and trust factor. But honestly, it really comes down to, do I matter to this person? Sometimes they'll be asking, can they help me? But that's really about, am I safe? Sometimes you don't even have to like the person. That's why I'm not sure about the know, like, and trust factor. You just have to know they can help you and you feel safe, but you don't have to like them. How many of you have ever met someone? I actually have a couple mentors in mind where I went, yeah. As a person, I can't say I really liked him, but I felt safe with him. What I did mattered, and they gave me lots of great information. So feeling is the deal breaker when it comes to that ancient survival part of our behavior. It will trigger all sorts of limiting beliefs and other crazy things if we don't feel safe. The lizard brain, or what we call that survival brain, that lizard brain, that ancient part of our brain, calls all the shots, including what you buy. Now, you might rationalize in split seconds after what you bought, but really, you bought on how you feel. So consider when you're talking to others, do you make people feel comfortable, cool, smart, successful, maybe thin, depending on what you sell and what you do? Do you make people feel like they get the most from you? Making people feel the best that you can is the secret to being unforgettable. Oftentimes, they'll be talking to their friends, and they might not be able to repeat back exactly what you said to them, but they'll say things like, I don't know, gosh darn, I sure did feel good when I was talking to them, or other such types of things. Maybe you've said things like that yourself. Yet often, I find service professionals try too hard to be all things to all people. They want to be liked by everybody. It just doesn't work. You have to be good at what you do and be able to talk about just one or two things. If you talk about too many things, people get confused. So it's good to be able to talk in a way about what you do that makes the listener feel like they are the most fascinating person in the world. And even though you don't do all things in the world, what you do is unique and is unique especially for them. If they don't see you as unique, you become a commodity. And when you're a commodity, the decision will always come down to price. So be you, the best you, on purpose. Now, sometimes people say, I can't limit it to just one thing. It makes me uncomfortable. I can do this and this and this and this and this. Problem is, people think you're a Jack or Jill of all trades, and you know just a little bit about a lot of things, but you don't know a lot about just one thing. So they'll look for the expert. So choose that one or two things that you do best, you love to do, and as I like to say, could do on and on. Don't choose one that you're only happy with for the next 6 months or something. Choose something that you can live with, I'd say for like the next 3 to 5 years, because it does take a while to get known. One way to help people know you and what you do is through very short descriptive stories that contain, as I said, just one point. Most people talk about their service, or more likely their services, and they just describe it as features. That is so boring. This might include a couple of generic problems they solve, something like, oh, I can help you lose weight, something like that. It's generic. How many people have you heard can help you lose weight? How many products have you heard can help you lose weight? And that's it. People go in their mind, been there, done that, tried it. Boring. Stop hanging out in how can I be of service mode and explaining these terrible problems in generic ways that nobody wants to hear. What makes you unique? If you're not unique, you're not reaching the feeling that they're looking for. You're not allowing people to really want you. That's the key. People really have to say, I want that. I want to work with him or her. I remember a while ago, Sally Fields, the actress, as she got her Oscar, said something to the effect of, you like me. You really, really like me. And on one part, that was so sad. But on another part, that's really how people have to feel when they buy from you if you don't want to be seen as a commodity. One way to remind others of your worth and show people how to have that I want you or that I want that feeling is with the short descriptive story. Stories are great at helping people tie it to memories that they have, and this can be good or bad memories. Some people are motivated towards the good memories, and other people are motivated away from the bad memories. So it could be either kind of memory, so don't worry about that. It also allows them to compare and contrast what you do and how it's different. And these are three of the key elements in anybody's buying decision-making process. So the key is to look back at the concept of play and practice telling stories. I know some of us, I think, but I don't have any stories. I can't tell stories. But think of it as if you were telling a story to a 5 or 8-year-old. Now this, I don't mean envision your client or prospective client as 5 or 8, but it's just a simple story. It doesn't have to be greatly detailed or using what I call university words, because it's the stories from childhood that we have fond memories of, and they're often based in a positive transformation and good feelings that create desire. We have memories of those times of transformation, and it is the only thing you really, really want. As I said before, remember, people only buy what they want, not what they need, no matter how badly they might need it. I remember after a speech recently, Meg came up to me and said, "Why does everyone think I'm so judgmental?" She was on the verge of being fired, and that comment had plagued her for the last two places she'd worked. I was actually in a little bit of shock, but we sat down for a session and discovered three things she could do that would change how people viewed her. In under a week, she called me and said her boss and her had had a really good laugh at what she'd uncovered and shared with him about her style and why he thought she was judgmental. And she added, "Oh yeah, you saved my marriage too." I didn't even know her marriage was in trouble. You see, I see it all the time. When you know how others react to you, it can quickly change your life. She reminded me when she told me, "You're like that MasterCard commercial. You're just priceless." I loved it. I couldn't help but laugh. And see, it makes a great story. Now, it's nifty and it's emotionally charged stories that go from zeros to heroes and do I matter to him or her. And that story was personal enough that you could identify with it. Maybe you've heard, why do you always fill in the blank. Why are you always so judgmental? Why are you always so angry? Or maybe you've had or known someone who was on the verge of being fired. Or maybe your marriage was in trouble, or maybe you knew your boss was mad at you. Many places that you can find people can relate. Now, if you don't have stories like that, maybe you're new, come up with stories that you've helped family or friends. These don't have to be paying clients. Maybe you've got a story where you've helped someone or used your service pro bono. Those are all stories. They work just the same. So don't worry if you're saying, I don't have any paid clients yet. They're all fantastic stories. Now, oftentimes we get caught up in what I call the feature and surface mode. That's second nature. I could have gone into great detail in that story about what it was in our session that we covered and how we did it and how we did it with video and on and on and on. But you know, it changes with every client and it doesn't really matter because that's not what we want. We don't want to know that it's done with video or it's done with stand-up, it's done with practice, whatever it is. Maybe you're a massage therapist. It doesn't really matter if it's a very specific type of massage, if the person gets what they want and need. So get out of this feature and service mode. We all get caught up in that our service and the problems we solve. There again, boring. Don't think, what do I do? How can I express it so people really get it? Start telling wonderful transformation-filled, very short stories. Talk about how your clients felt before, during, and after. And if you don't have clients, like I said, I'm sure you've helped family or friends or done some volunteer work, even if it was in your schooling. You want to give us that, wow, that was an easy transformation feeling. And to have an immediate, I want that decision going on in that lizard part of their brain. I'm sure you've been that. You've seen an infomercial, you've been walking through the store and you've immediately seen something and caught your eye, or you've been talking to someone and you just go, I want that. And that's exactly the feeling I'm talking about. Save all your features and how you do it till later, because people really don't buy on that. Take out all those fancy technical explanations, throw away the how-tos, and begin by telling wonderful stories of what happened after people used your service or product. That's where that decision process of I want that comes from. People can feel they want it, yet it often takes what I call a connection conversation. Connecting your stories to their urgent problems, wants, and yes, sometimes needs to successfully guide them to make a decision. You see, oftentimes we had that I want moment, but then all of a sudden, when remember I said we start rationalizing, through our brain runs all sorts of things like, oh, I bet they're too expensive, oh, I bet they're too far away, oh, I bet this happens or that happens. So we want to be able to jump into what I call a connection conversation, just to help them understand what it is that we do, how we can solve their problem, and what is their most urgent problem. See, urgency is the key here. We can help uncover their problem, but we don't want to solve it. Too often as heart-centered people, we jump right in and solve the problem right away. Sometimes we're so good at what we do, we could solve it within just a matter of minutes. Problem is, we've solved the problem that they were going to hire us for. Problem is, they really haven't gotten into the depth of understanding the change, and so if we solve the problem right then and there, it won't be a solution that sticks. Understand that sometimes people have to spend a little time as they walk through and wander through and play with these solutions. But the understanding we have to find the urgent problem so they'll feel the need to move and act on it, but we don't solve their problem right away. Now, someone might tell you that they want software to do their accounting on their computer and all of that. And that could be an urgent problem. But really, we have to uncover what's even behind why do you need software? Because we're looking for a true want and, yes, sometimes need. And that's different than what someone usually tells us what they want or need. Now, let's just take this idea of software to do our accounting on our computer. We want to talk to them in a way to uncover what they really, really need. Now, do they just need better tracking system? Are they having trouble paying their taxes? We have to uncover what it is they really, really need. And it's all too easy to fall into that trap of solving what they tell us they want, not what they really, really need. It's great to get to their bigger problem. And see, finding those kinds of solutions and helping them make decisions is what I call the pits. Yep, P-I-T, the pits. And it's incumbent upon us to help them make a decision. Sometimes they just get overwhelmed with the idea that they have to make a decision, and they don't really know what to do. They can get stuck. Sometimes you will be the solution, and sometimes you won't. As you do this connection conversation, you'll discover that sometimes you're not the solution. But they'll thank you when you say things like, you know, I'm not the solution for you. I hear your problem, and I'd love to be able to refer you to my friend so-and-so. You know, they'll remember you next time they have a problem because you were honest with them that this isn't your great thing, but you want to be of service. But remember, buying decisions are made on three things. The pits. P is for power, I is for information, and T is for time. The first question I always want to know in the back of my mind, I rarely verbalize this though, is who has the power? Oftentimes you can be dealing with one or more people, and they may or may not be able to make the decision. So I always say in the back of my mind, especially if I'm dealing with a group, as rough as this sounds, who can sign my check? It's important to know because if you're working and helping uncover a lot of problems and urgencies, and yet they don't have the power to make a decision, it's really a waste of time for you. The next thing you want to know is who has the information needed to solve this problem? Sometimes it's you as the service provider, but sometimes you need them to provide you with information as well. So it's good to know the entire lay of the land and know who has all the information needed to solve this problem we've uncovered. And as I've gone over before, I've used the word urgency, but here for PITS, I call it time. How urgent is their need to solve the problem? Because time always wins. Even if they say they want it, if they have all the time in the world, urgent things will pop up left and right. Their hair will be on fire as they're running around solving everything but what you've uncovered for them. The more urgent the problem, want, need, or desire, the less information is needed, and the person will find a way to resolve the power issue. Repeat after me. My only focus in this connection conversation is to help them uncover their urgent problems, wants, and needs, and help them make a decision, not solve it. The connection conversation process, here again, is to tell short descriptive stories of how clients have transformed based on your work. And some of the things we want to help them understand is, as I said, urgency, but you also want to show them that it's useful. You want to demonstrate to them through these client stories how it's useful and how it's uniquely specific to you. This means not using generic jargon. Coming up with ways that they can understand how you are uniquely specific. One of those ways is to use numbers. Numbers are always helpful, whether you have a time frame on how fast the transformation happens. Maybe you are some type of person that helps them create more money, sell more products. You can always use stats, percentages, and dollars to help people compare and contrast what makes you different. If your service or product is, I'll say, 20 times faster than the competitor, it's good to talk about those things. It's important for them to know because numbers are the universal language and often help guide the decision. Now, making a decision is critical. You can uncover the urgent need, but it won't guide them to make a decision. The first person that comes along that is skilled in guiding them through these connection conversations wins the sale. And we will cover that in more detail in segment number 2, how to attract clients like bees to honey. But before we get to that, take a moment, pull out your pencil, and come up with 3 or 4 short, one-sentence success stories. Remember, these stories need to be about 100 words or less. 100 words is about 30 seconds spoken. We just want to capture their attention, show them the urgency, show them the usefulness of your solution, and what's uniquely specific about what you do. Remember to always add numbers because numbers are the universal language that really attracts people's attention. The more dramatic the number, the better.